Scatman's Avenue.
Dan and Rand and Jay will share tales of folks so unaware. They lack in grace and sometimes choose. The life they choose will make the news. Breaking down each epic fail in Florida, there's half price bail. I'm happy to say they
couldn't make this up.
So listen to our podcast jam with co-host Arm and Dan. Bender, don't be a jerk. Cause when the music hits, the funny hits, and we are gonna take you down. Stick around. Make a sound, hunker down,
it's
Dumb People Town.
Hey, Townies, welcome to another episode of Dumb People Town.
Population you.
Population Bloom.
Rachel Bloom.
Hi.
Hi.
Welcome.
Hello. I fear that I'm dumb. That's like one of my big
Do you really,
fears.
Are you afraid
Which
of
means
yeah.
you're not. Which
yeah,
means
exactly. Not. I think that's a smart person thing to fear that you're dumb. But once I acknowledge it's a smart person thing, then I would get hubris, and then that would make me dumb.
It's cyclical.
Wait, Dan, are you saying it's like a catch-22 thing? Like, if you say you're insane, then you're not insane?
If you possess self-awareness, you've already
jumped a dumb hurdle.
Dumb. Yes.
You jumped dumb hurdle number one. Jumped one hurdle, but I do think we aren't as smart as we all think we are.
Yeah.
We believe the world's getting dumber.
We think the entire world is getting dumber. As ocean levels rise, our collective IQ goes down.
Even as technology gets better, it just doesn't, that doesn't reflect everybody. I think there is a willful ignorance that's going on right now that is in the face of advancement.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like, I don't want to improve. I don't want to develop as developing things are happening around me. Whereas in the past, it was like, we don't know about that stuff yet. So we don't have, your excuses are out the window now. So if you willfully try to not know stuff, then you're making a choice. Whereas in the past, you maybe didn't have access to it.
Right. So arguably, the dumb people now are dumber because they are choosing not to
be dumb.
They are choosing to be dumb.
They're making the dumb choice to not learn.
Right.
But there's an argument that now with the internet, that there's so much content, it's hard to... Well, I guess that's like a dumb verse. But even smart people get taken in by like looking at Instagram and looking up snakes on Wikipedia.
Think about how many books you've read recently and think about like what do you do?
Think about how many books you read versus how many snakes you've looked up on Wikipedia.
The snakes, it's 10 to 1. 10 snakes, one book.
Did you see the snake skin of that 7 foot long... No, 7 meter long
no.
python skin that that guy found.
No.
So that means that there's a python that's that long or longer somewhere in the world. Like in that guy's neighborhood. He's like, he found that skin. He laid it out on his
driveway.
Backyard.
Honey,
and I was like,
honey, get my good tape measure. Because there's always one with a kink in it.
So when that guy says to his wife, you're married, when that guy says to his wife, honey, you know. What you're about to see is something you don't want to see.
Yeah.
And you're like, do I entertain him? Or I just like, take a picture for me.
I don't need to come out and see it. All right, Dan, let's get into a story.
So we get stories sent to us by our fans and then
we do.
Fantastic.
Break them down. Now, we've never heard them and you've never heard them. So let's get into
Dan Barry.
Ready?
Yes.
This was sent in by Joe Luttrell at The Gentleman Joe.
Thanks, buddy.
And in honor of Halloween season, Rachel, are you a Halloween season fan?
I do.
I love it.
I
when
said
do you
I do. That was a really smart people thing.
You just got married to Halloween.
Are you a Halloween
I do.
I do.
I do.
And with
I do.
This Halloween
I ring. It didn't even faze me. I was like, good, we can start talking about Hocus
Pocus.
There's
a type of person that has Halloween weddings. I used to work at the place that my husband and I got married in L.A. When we scouted it, there were people having a Halloween wedding.
Yeah, they
like
were.
Like on the 31st,
fun.
Like creepy,
it's
like Bride
cool.
of Frankenstein dress. It's cool.
Like yeah. a slit throat with like blood coming
yeah.
down.
You know your bridesmaids' dresses are going to suck. Why not make them
rip
fun.
Them to shreds?
It's great. It's
are you
great.
Guys scary moving with your kids?
Not yet.
So my
kids have nightmares.
So my youngest is far more excited about scary stuff. So we did an escape room birthday for her, and she's like, I want to go to the scariest one in there. So
and
I
made you go.
So I went, me and 6 12-year-old girls went in this like the
orphanage.
The abandoned orphanage. And we walk in and like you have, there's like a light that you got to pull down on a mirror that shines down a gated long hallway. And
don't,
there was a
don't
picture.
Spoiler alert. Jesus.
Is it scary or is it creepy?
Both. It's
like, are there like things that jump out at you?
Yes.
Oh God.
And
not things that
jump out, but like certain things happen and it just, you don't know when it's coming. It's like being tickled in like a scary way. Mm. You don't know when it's coming. And so you just,
yeah.
But there was a moment that something happened and all the girls screamed. And I, in the deepest, loudest voice I could say, I was like, no.
That's great.
You guys were like,
that's great.
I was like, I
that's
can't
all
believe
you can do.
I lost control. I that's lost full great. Control.
All right. Well, so, I love it. I love scary.
So give it to
I
me
love
in
Halloween,
Halloween
time. I love the decorations. I love all
so
of
give it.
So
to
thank
us.
You, Joe Latrell. Here we go. In honor of Halloween, the nightmare at 657 Boulevard is finally over for Derek and Maria Broadus.
Wait, okay. The name of the street is Boulevard?
Yeah. 657.
Where do you live?
Boulevard.
I live on Boulevard.
Sorry, this is all, and this is real.
Yes. Boulevard Avenue.
But yeah. There's no telling what's in store for the people who bought their former dream house at a heavy discount.
That's always the thing. Why did we get this house?
The Broaduses have spent the last 5 years trying to avoid a mysterious, unidentified stalker known only as the Watcher, who has sent them several threatening letters since they bought the gorgeous century home in Westfield, New Jersey for $1.35 million.
Wait, is this supposed to be funny?
It will be.
Okay.
The Broaduses...
Because you're like, if I went, bought a house and we got it at a discounted rate and then you got letters from a stalker, you'd be like, what is going on?
I mean, I did buy my house at a discounted rate and it turns out the house is a piece of shit. So that's my own horror movie I'm living in right now.
Are there like 70,000 bees in your attic or something like that?
Oh my God, I wish. That would be way more interesting.
That would explain it.
No, the house is just crumbling. You're going to die in it.
The Broaduses reported the letters to police and never moved because they were afraid of the individual. That's the opposite of that sentence.
Yeah.
I get one letter, I'd be like, are we still in escrow?
It's like the old Eddie Murphy bit. White people are like, what's going on?
What's going on? Black people that come in the house and they just hear, get out. Too bad we can't stay, baby.
Because it's my thing. I always ask, what is the haunted stuff that happens where you're out?
Like where's your so where is your haunted line?
When the toaster isn't plugged in and cooks a piece of bread, I'm like, we're leaving. We're out.
Like, where's your haunted
like
line, Rachel?
If you see
Rachel
a shadow at the top of the stairs, are you out?
No, because I used to be really fascinated by ghosts, and I've done a lot of like research about ghosts because a lot of it played into my. I had a whole existential crisis in high school when I realized that Christians believed that Jews were going to hell, which I didn't know until some Christians tried to get me to come to youth group with them. Happy Halloween!
Jews are going to die.
So I spent a lot of time researching ghost sightings, like basically trying to prove to myself that ghosts weren't real, because if ghosts were real, it would somehow like prove the Christian afterlife to me. It was the story I told myself. And a lot of stuff where it's like you see a figure just waking up or going to sleep, or you see a shadow at the top of the stairs. A lot of that's just our minds playing tricks. So, so shadow at the top of the stairs is not enough.
What if you walk in and your kid's on the ceiling?
Yeah, that's a
kid
that,
on the
yeah,
ceiling.
Of course, that's a deal breaker.
We're out. We're out. Some of these movies,
call Lionel Richie.
Yeah, we're done.
Get the hell out of the house. Get
some of these
house.
Movies, they're like, go back to bed.
Yeah,
get off the ceiling.
Get
we love hey. This house.
Hey, get down from there.
Right, your mother really got this great job opportunity in this middle of nowhere town.
Get down from there. We are leaving. In a great school district.
Yeah,
right. You can stay up there for another 5 minutes. Then you have to brush
your
teeth.
And then in this day and age, like the wife sits down next to the husband and is like, at least he's not on his phone.
Yeah.
At least he's not on the iPad. He's doing something
he's
constructive.
Doing something
a
physical.
Listing.
It's called imaginative play, David. Let him do it.
A listing on the real estate site Zillow shows the Broaduses have been trying to sell the home since February 2015. They dropped the price several times and then ultimately found a buyer on July 2nd. That is some Independence Day.
Yeah.
We are getting out.
Let's go.
How much money do you guys think they sold this house for? They bought it for
$1.35
million.
What do you think?
They desperately wanted out for years.
Because of a stalker. So like when they were listening, they're like,
though,
great
to me,
views.
Seems more real than this.
And they were upfront about the stalker.
I don't know. Okay. I don't think so. I didn't.
In the listing on Zillow, it said great views, nice southwestern sunlight,
a
stalker.
That's why they kept taking such a loss.
Porch.
Let's assume that they were. We'll find out, but I'm pretty sure they were.
I'm going to guess $375,000.
Oh, my God. You think it dropped $1 million?
Yes.
Okay, Jay, what do you think?
$750
from Jason Sklar? Randy.
I think they're down to $625.
$620. They found a buyer on July 2nd to sell this for, and they say stalker, but there's no person. Also, guys, it seems like
is
some
it
sort
a ghost
of like
letter?
You'll
are the
out.
Letters ghost go? Letter. Okay, good.
They sold on July 2nd for $959,000.
Wow! All right,
and
that's
nearly
still took
they
a
took
bath.
$400,000.
Okay, that's not as bad as it.
The sale ends a long legal battle and a personal nightmare for the Broaddus's, who have been trying for years to escape the scrutiny of the Watcher. Their nightmare began just a few days after they bought their home in 2014 when they found an anonymous letter left at the door.
Mm-mm.
This is the letter.
Mm-mm.
Allow me to welcome you to the neighborhood.
Nope. That's a, I don't like I don't like how nice it starts. I don't like it.
I won't allow you to do anything.
Allow me.
Douchebag.
This is according to an in-depth feature in New York Magazine.
Okay.
Did, this, okay, here's the letter. This is how it starts out. Allow me to welcome you to the neighborhood.
Mm-mm.
Did 657 Boulevard call you with its force within?
Oh,
like, God. No. Yes. Like, tell me there's an annoying teenager in this neighborhood.
Yeah, that just seems like a weird loser.
The letter writing claimed to be part of a long line. The letter writer claimed to be part of a long line of men charged with, quote, watching and waiting for the Century's Home's second coming. Quote, do you, I told you it gets dumb.
Again,
I told you.
Fucking yeah. loser.
Yeah. Right. Do you know the history of the house? Do you know what lies within the walls of 657 Boulevard? At this point, I'm like, I know the address.
Yeah.
I live here.
Wait,
you can
what?
You can stop reminding me of the address that I live.
625 Boulevard Avenue.
The first letter ended with a message, let the party begin, and was signed The Watcher.
Oh, God.
That's a that's a good sign.
This is someone who wants to be a comic book hero.
It's so lamely written. I would just be like, great. You're a fucking loser. Maybe that's how I'd react to every ghost. Like,
I would love.
You're such a fucking, God. You've been hanging around this house since the 1700s.
Get a life.
Just because your son died in here and you're haunting me, you're a fucking loser.
Get a hobby, bro.
Get a life, ghost.
Rachel, I don't know why I called you Laura. Rachel, I would love if you took the letter in the house, 10 minutes later, came back out with punch-ups and like red notes. Of like,
I have some notes.
A good start,
this
Watcher.
Is a horrible start.
Don't need to.
Yeah. A few weeks later, the stalker sent another letter to criticize the couple for flooding the home with contractors before asking about their three children. I'm like, okay, what retiree are you?
This is
are the letters coming in the mail or are they being left at the doorstep?
They're showing up on the doorstep.
Oh,
I
well,
believe.
Then you've got to get a fucking ring.
Get
a camera.
Camera.
Wait, they're going to sell the house before they just get like a security camera?
Agreed. Quote, so now who's being dumb? Exactly.
I'm being a fucking loser now.
You guys.
I have seen them, the Watcher wrote, according to the New York Magazine. Do you need to fill the house? Do you need to fill the house with the young blood I requested?
Oh, no.
Better for me.
What?
This is a hilarious
thing. This is crazy.
This is such a funny, because you could do this to any house in the neighborhood.
This is nextdoor.com.
Oh, this is so, this is a great way to actually stop gentrification. Because every fucking hipster who's moving into like Echo Park totally believes in like spirits and the universe.
Yes. Yeah, you're ruining the universe.
You could totally fuck with some like
the universe fighting back.
You could absolutely fuck with some like mid-30s white people.
You just need a dream catcher and a fountain pen.
The universe fighting back through a fierce letter writing campaign.
Also, could you imagine the posts on the neighbor app
Nextdoor.com
these people? Who's leaving the letter?
Yeah,
we
see you. This is what the post.
I saw a dark skinned man walking through our neighborhood. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure he's the one leaving the letter.
No, so this is the post. It would be a letter was left on the. Then the next one underneath the comment would be like, what type of paper was it on? Was it recycled? No, it wasn't recycled. That's the problem. People aren't using recycled paper these days. And then suddenly it becomes that. And you're like next door.
Also, if I could chime in my post. Speaking of recycling, some people aren't taking their bins all the way out.
Speaking of recycling.
You have 24 hours to get it in after the garage, after the garbage trucks pick it up.
It means we can't park. Right. My house is being haunted by a watcher. Well, maybe the watcher could take her bin in. Stop it, next door.
I'm one of those people who leaves my bins out all the time.
Of course you do.
Hey, another person.
You're the press?
Hey, guys, I'm the watcher. If we could bring this back to me.
Did you get that blood I requested after you take your bins in?
The Broaddus's reported the letters to police, but no suspects were ever identified. They tried to sue the home's former owners, but court records show they failed to convince a judge that the previous owners knew about the watcher.
Mm.
They unsuccessfully sued the town to demolish the home. So they were like trying everything.
Yeah, it's a camera.
Right.
Also, at that point, just hire a person to sit outside your house at all times.
You're paying these court costs.
Mm-hmm. And you're paying $400,000.
Oh, 2014?
Look at next sentence. You called this. They even set up security cameras and hired a former FBI agent to investigate their neighbors to no avail.
This is...
So they tried.
But they found out a ton of shit.
What if the FBI agent is the guy? Nothing.
What if the letter is coming from within the house?
It's her husband. Or her.
Wait, they set up cameras. They set up cameras. And it stopped, then it stopped.
I don't know that
it did. Are you saying it's like Fight Club?
The home's new owners, Andrew and
Allison. She is the letter writer herself.
Why are they dragging them into this? The home's new owners, Andrew and Allison Carr, AA if you're nasty, declined to speak to the New York Times and NewJersey.com on Friday. The Broaddus's can finally leave the home behind, although they won't be able to escape the story. Netflix bought the rights to adapt it late last year, Deadline reports.
What's how many this times TV show going
to
be?
Right, how many times do you try to sell things to Netflix and you're like, this shit get in?
Yes.
Oh my God. That's maybe the biggest crime of all.
I had a fucking Christmas movie with Paul Feig, and they went with this?
Yeah
no
please.
One fucking cares.
Please. That's bullshit.
Movie, I want well, that it's up for grabs.
So why don't we write a letter to Netflix saying, you know this story is haunted. You know your building is haunted.
You
know
it. Have you gotten the pitches I sent? Clearly you haven't.
In blood.
That's have you seen that person who's striking outside Netflix for them to renew the OA? The OA?
Yeah. No.
The hunger strike?
That's amazing.
She's still going?
I don't know. She's maybe she died.
I
hope she
did. Well, she did. She died doing what she loved.
Yeah.
Strikes
supporting the OA. Watching Netflix.
Lee Levitt, who represented the Broaddus's in their lawsuit against the former owner, says he's happy to hear about the sale. I hope this nightmare is behind them, he told NewJersey.com. I look forward to Netflix.
I hope this nightmare is behind them, but I'll still talk to any press that will have me.
What if there's another side of this where they bought this house and were trying to create a way to get it bulldozed so that they could build their own property on it, knowing that they can't just because they want to because it's seems
what if they're trying to get a Netflix show?
What if they're part of the
Netflix
show?
Wrote the letter.
I think they wrote the letters to themselves.
Oh my God.
Actually, that's a brilliant way to
be the greatest. Yeah. If we could pull the plug out on this and
what?
The
okay. So if they sell the Netflix show and it goes,
they didn't sell it. Someone else did.
How? Who else
got it? They're going to
get the rights. They get some money. If the money they get equals $400,000, then they got out of the house.
They got out.
Maybe they just hated the neighborhood. They're like, we don't like our next door neighbors. And if we have to live the rest of our lives in the thing, so let's. Write
create
letters,
a campaign,
hire an FBI agent to cover our tracks, mm-hmm. put up the security cameras, we can't see anything, and then sell the show to Netflix.
The Watcher.
That's story.
I once got
one,
a
guys.
Letter in my mailbox, but it was our neighbor who's since moved out accusing us of cutting down her bamboo. Yeah. But we didn't.
Always.
We
but
didn't,
you didn't
cut her. We were having some work done in our backyard and like we cut some of the bamboo that was on our side of the fence. She basically had a forest.
Yeah.
And she was like, stop cutting my bamboo. Yeah. And and then she moved out. I think we drove her.
I imagine her always wearing a panda outfit. Is that right?
It's on brand.
Or my bamboo.
Come to think of it, she was from China.
She's in
a
house
460 pounds.
And she would like to sit cross-legged and eat the bamboo. So what's wrong with that?
No one could get her to procreate. How much they tried.
We brought in another person and it just didn't take. Are we done? Is that,
that
first
is story number one?
First story down.
I hope if there's a townie out there that can go to 657 Boulevard this Halloween season,
please take a picture of yourself.
Or
I imagine coming from your neighbor's house is the song House of Bamboo.
No.
You too. All right, stop. All right. We'll be back with more Dumb People Town. Rachel Bloom's with us. Stay with us.
Stick around. Make a sound for more Dumb People Town.
Hey guys, welcome back to the show. We've got Rachel Bloom. Please follow her on all social media.
Golden Globe winner, Rachel Bloom. Emmy this year.
That just happened.
For the lyrics and music to the opening song, or is
for
it more songs?
For Antidepressants. We were nominated for our opening song.
But you got for another song that you wrote in the show.
Yes, and I didn't even have to live in a house getting frequent letters.
Well, and you actually
did.
Merit.
Look what you did.
That is so amazing. That's incredible. I mean, obviously, the show itself is incredible and amazing, but to then be rewarded for it and appreciated for the work that you put out there, because very difficult to A, write a show, B, write a show that has music in it that is funny and great. How do I know it's funny and great? We watched it, and my daughter loves it so much that she just plays the songs nonstop, which is fantastic.
That makes me very happy.
You should be happy.
But it makes me happy because I'm like, oh, you get comedy.
Oh,
isn't that the good moment?
That makes me very happy. That hearing that from fellow comedians who I deeply, deeply respect.
Thank you.
Makes me very happy.
Well, but there's a moment. So when you have kids and your kid does something that tells that he or she gets it.
Mm. They gravitate to the right moment.
I took my kids, I've mentioned this on the show before, maybe you mentioned, took my kids to see Vampire Weekend last week.
Oh, I was at that.
You were at that show?
Yeah, the Hollywood Bowl one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Amazing. Great. Amazing show to see a band at their prime and a band that I just love. And they were there and they knew the album and they loved it. And there was just a moment where we were all there and I was like, oh, this is the best. Mm-hmm. This is the best of the best of the best.
So Vampire Weekend songs are really good for kids because those melodies are like ding, 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 ding. Yeah, yeah. Like they're very
upbeat.
Yeah, why do you have to play Baby Shark? You could just play like Vampire Weekend.
Way all the time, all day long. But anyway, so congratulations.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
I remember back in the day, like, we didn't do a lot of UCB shows together, but like bit shows and stuff. Mm-hmm. And like, you would, you know, do some songs. And I'm like, God, this, you're a fucking crusher.
Oh,
and
I, that's
and then
so
when
sweet.
The show came about, I'm like, well, not only is it somebody getting a show, which we know a lot of people from UCB have gotten shows, but it's someone like getting a show that is their.
I don't think people understand
creating
this.
Their path.
But that's the thing. But that's the thing is like I'll get questions in interviews like, "Oh my gosh, so you write and act and as if that's novel." It's like, "Yeah,
that's what I've always been doing."
That's what people around me are doing. Yeah. You're just not seeing there are so many good television shows that have never gotten made. I mean, think about all the pilots of people we know from UCB who are like amazing shows that just never get made. And so I think that's something that I was always really grateful for, that there's an element of, sure, I work hard, but there are so many people I know who work hard and have amazing work and just didn't get that one network person to believe in their particular idea.
And champion you through, because they could have all exceeded expectations and whatnot, but it still doesn't diminish how unbelievable it is, because wherever you are in the process, you have a great idea. You're like, we're going to execute this really well. Then you need a little bit of luck and a little bit of help. And then it gets out there and you're like, I hope it finds an audience of people. And I'm sure your audience of fans are like the most rabid fans ever.
They are super fucking rabid.
But isn't that great? Because you're like, I poured my whole self into this. This
like,
is
if
me.
If you love this,
then you,
then
love
you will love me.
It's incredible. Yes. It's incredibly satisfying. And to the point where Crazy X ended, I was like, I mean, we just performed at Radio City and I was like, well, I mean, amazing. The only thing that can really emotionally top this right now is getting pregnant.
Yeah.
Because this whole experience has been so profound. And so it was me chasing that profundity high.
Well, look what you got.
You're going to
make a little person.
Yeah,
I hope she's okay. It's a weird thing where like, you know, you can't really, I had this app on my phone called Tiny Beats where you can supposedly hear the heartbeat.
Yeah.
And I've been hearing it the past couple nights, but then I put it to my chest and I heard the same type of heartbeat. So now
it's
I'm
a scam.
Like, I don't think it's a scam. I think it's picking up my own heartbeat from my abdomen or whatever. So like, I hope the baby's growing. Yeah, I think.
You think you got to get Tiny Beats by Dre.
Yeah, those are better because they put it like right in your ears.
Earphones you put around your stomach and then you do it. Well, you're going to cook up a funny baby. That's what's going to happen.
Thank you.
Funny and talented baby. Let's cook that up. Shall we cook up another story?
Let's do it. All right, here we go. Ready? Mm-hmm. Sent in by Pat McMo at McMo Pat. McMopat. Thanks so much.
Pat. You're a lovely woman.
A woman.
See, I said it was right. I'm assuming that Pat.
It's Pat.
Why not?
We don't know.
Julia Sweeney, the best.
A woman in the U.S. has set a bizarre new Guinness World Record that could be about to put you off mayonnaise for life.
Okay, so now I'm going to ask you, before we even know what this is this a record that she wanted, or do you think she just wanted to be known as someone who has a Guinness World Record?
Put you off mayonnaise for life.
Mm-hmm. I think she'd want it. But I don't
think she's like, I just love this, or I need to have something define me in this
record. Anybody here not a mayonnaise person?
I'll eat it.
I'll
go mayonnaise or Miracle Whip.
No, Miracle Whip.
I love how much mayonnaise is used in like an undercover brother. Like the mayonnaise was like the thing that all white people, it's like the symbol of white, you just throw the thing of mayonnaise on there. And
that's also what Jews think about Gentiles.
Right.
Mayonnaise
is that
on
they're
everything.
They're all just eating mayonnaise on white bread all the time.
Isn't that like a old in a Woody Allen movie?
Yeah. So-and-so,
she orders like, Annie Hall, I think she orders a meal like at a restaurant. She's like, I'll have a ham sandwich with mayonnaise on white bread.
Yeah.
And then like, and he's like, I'll have a plate of mashed peas.
Also, there's the episode of Curb where Larry thinks he's adopted and that he's not really Jewish. And I think he starts eating mayonnaise. He's so happy.
Okay. So that's the.
Okay.
Well, mayo, maybe Ireland's most popular bottled condiment. So now you know
is
that.
Is it?
But the antics of Michelle Cardboard Shell Lesko.
That is her nickname, Cardboard Shell.
Michelle Cardboard Shell.
She's a cardboard shell of herself.
Maybe out to change all that.
Let's go, girl.
A world famous competitive eater and maths teacher by day.
Maths. I love that they call it
this
maths.
This comes from the irishpost.com.
The world's famous teacher and maths teacher by day.
That's good.
Maths teacher by day.
It's mediocre.
Michelle, this week, set a new world record for consuming an amount of mayonnaise.
Oh, my God.
Incredibly, the Arizona-based educator managed to set a record for eating the most mayonnaise in a space of just 3 minutes.
So she's not Irish. Guinness is Irish. And this is the moment where you realize that Guinness from the Guinness World is a beer.
Yes.
So when you realize people got drunk on Guinness and were like, we should record world records.
Is that the same Guinness?
Guinness.
Did not know that.
See, now you know. You just learned
Michelin,
it.
Like Michelin.
Right. Yeah.
The star and the tire.
Sure.
No,
that will never make sense to me. The tire's reading food.
I know. Over the course of 180 seconds.
It is not Michelin and Michelin. It's not. Anyway.
Yeah, no, it's the same.
Not.
Yes,
no,
it is.
Yeah, it is.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yes.
No.
Yes, it's the same company.
You guys are shitting me.
No, we are not.
The tire company is also the food.
Because they created like a travel thing in like the 50s or 60s, okay. And then that became this prestigious rating.
Right.
Because you could go around on your tires and visit all these restaurants.
If you want to get a Michelin star, just serve all your meal in a tire.
You're bullshit.
And did you know that James Beard owns a Jiffy Lube? And do you know that... That he just does.
Stop it.
I'm kidding. No. Okay.
Have you?
Everybody, we're getting a lot of misinformation.
You guys have eaten at a 3-star Michelin restaurant before, right?
Yeah, it's unreal. I just ate at Alinea when I was in Chicago.
Ooh, okay, it's unreal, right?
So, it's great. I mean, it was. I mean, that's dinner and a show.
I know. But one of the guys, Duffy, who started, he was at Alinea, and then he created Grace, which is a Netflix documentary about it.
Oh.
And he did it with his partner, Michael Muser, who's become a good buddy of mine. So they created Grace, which became a 3-star restaurant. I got to eat there.
It is the Michelin.
I told
it
you.
Is.
Yes.
There's
Why
the Michelin.
Did you doubt them?
Because
man?
It was. You always say it in French, and no one's ever said the
Michelin.
Michelin.
I'm Michelin.
All right. So I went to there to
Grace. Grace.
Watch that. I don't want to give anything. Watch the documentary to find out about Grace.
Is it gone?
But it's. Anyway, it's amazing.
Cancer.
And then they're opening another restaurant called Ever. If you're ever in Chicago and you want to go, I can.
The food in Chicago is a great food town.
Okay, so over the course of just 100.
Speaking of great food.
180 seconds, Michelle succeeded in consuming how many ounces of mayonnaise do you guys think?
She's a competitive eater, so.
Right. So she can. She's got an area of her stomach.
180 seconds?
How many ounces is a jar?
I think this is like
16?
16 or 12.
All right, so you're saying in 180 seconds, which is 3 minutes.
3 minutes.
How much did
cardboard shell shovel down?
I'm going to guess 180 seconds, so it's a couple minutes. Oh, God.
It doesn't take much to chew it.
No, you don't have to chew it all.
It just goes straight down.
This actually is making me very queasy just picturing.
Would you say 4 jars? Or
four jars would be about 48 ounces.
Well, that depends on the size.
Oh, it was 4 times 16. That's 64 ounces.
I think that the jar, we would go.
She's really not feeling good. Just say a number.
Imagine that a jar is 24 ounces.
24. Oh, a jar is 24.
Sure.
So not 16.
Yep. But you said 4, so we'll do the math for you. All right.
No, I think now that I'm thinking it's 2.5 minutes, I think she managed to.
3 minutes.
It's 3 minutes?
Yeah.
I think she managed to do eight jars.
Eight jars of 24 ounces.
Those competitive eaters are fucking nuts.
Yeah, it is.
180, so 182. 182 ounces. Okay. Jay, what do you say?
I'm going to say 150 ounces.
That's actually 192. So
192.
Sorry,
192.
Okay. 150.
150. Randy?
Jesus, my math is wrong.
I'm going to say she had 300 ounces.
300 ounces.
Come on, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because
it goes down fast. Like, they open their throats.
All right. She is feeling queasy because you're talking
deep throats of Miracle Whip. I'm sorry.
Michelle succeeded in consuming a whopping 2,000. Hold on. It's not. It's a conversion. 2,448 grams for an equivalent of 86 ounces.
Wow. Whoa. What did you say?
I said 150.
Which equates to the equivalent of 3.5 jars with 4 jars.
Four jars.
I was right before.
Yes.
I'm going to give you the win there.
Wow.
Her efforts were recorded for proof and prosperity by Guinness and make for a difficult viewing.
Does it make
I love that little editorial note right there.
This woman's record and her future open casket will make for a difficult view.
Ranked number 9 in the world by the International Federation of Competitive Eaters.
The IFOC. Top 10, baby. We know the IFOC.
I know. And Major League Eating, Patrick Bertoletti, a buddy of ours. Michelle took up speed eating after two of her male friends backed out of a challenge to eat 12 patties, 12 slices of cheese, lettuce, tomato, and a burger.
This is how people get into comedy, and this is how people get
into acting.
Somebody
else doesn't go up.
They came along on an audition, and they said they got nervous, so I put my name in. I walked in, and now I'm like Dom DeLuise or something.
Michelle tackled it with little fuss and has not looked back since the three Guinness World and has three Guinness World
Records. The marvelous Miss Miracle Whip.
As well as setting a new mayonnaise record, Michelle also holds the title for fastest time to eat a bowl of pasta. Does anyone want to take this guess?
Oh, wow. Plain pasta?
I could eat pasta every fucking day.
I know. Yeah. It's not good for you.
I know.
Fastest time to eat a bowl.
A bowl of pasta. Anybody want to take a guess?
Because you do have to kind of...
10 seconds.
10 seconds from Rachel Bloom.
5 seconds.
5 from Jason.
15 seconds.
15. Took her 26.69 seconds.
Oh, geez.
She also has the fastest
time.
Yeah, exactly.
Get another number ready. Because she has the fastest time to eat a hot dog with no hands.
Is that...
Of course a woman has mastered that.
I know.
Hey!
Folks! Don't be proud of that. No hands.
A fastest time to eat a hot dog with no hands.
Right. Yeah.
5 seconds.
Is picking it up part of it?
It must be.
Okay. So that could take a couple seconds.
5 seconds you can get down to table and gullet it?
No, you know what? I'll say 8 seconds.
Okay, 8. Like riding a bull.
Yeah. I was too small last time, so I'm going to say...
Also, great movie. Luke Perry, RIP.
13, yeah.
I was going to say 8 seconds. 12 seconds.
12? She. Play along, townies. Come on. If you aren't already, jump
shout
in
at your ham radius.
She had a hot dog with no hands in 21.6 seconds. Standing not so tall at 5'4". Come on, back off.
It's not that short. 5'4 isn't that bad.
Michelle puts her speed eating success down to her fast metabolism, though she admits a fair amount of practice is required, including a spot of stomach stretching. The biggest misconception about competitive eating is that all of us are like 500 pounds and 10 feet tall.
That's the truth.
She told the Guinness World Records
10
website.
Feet tall. By the way, 10 feet tall would be a Guinness record.
Yeah.
Back in the day, when they first started these contests, they would pull people from the audience and they picked people that they thought could eat the most. So I think that's where it came from. Even so, we'll close out here. It's probably best you don't try this at home. You'll never look at mayonnaise the same way again.
I'll never look at you the same way again. You disgusting.
I mean, but how... The crazy thing is that is a skill. To eat food like that, it is a skill.
Yep.
There's
a picture of her. Picture of her shoveling, and she looks angry about it.
By the way,
she
that picture will fighting. Be on our Facebook page.
And by the way,
join the Dumb People Dumb Facebook page. Get on it and join the Patreon as well.
She's kind of cute.
Who cares? Look at her gulleting this.
Good for her.
I like her.
I like the flannel.
You do the math.
I'm just really picturing me all that mayonnaise.
Don't do it.
Don't go down there.
We'll take a break.
Damn, tease us on our last story.
What's our last story?
Our last story is, as I scroll back. Oh. Wedding plans.
Here we go. Wedding plans. Rachel Bloom's with us. It's Dumb People Town. Stay with us.
Stick around. Make a sound. There's more Dumb People Town.
Hey guys, welcome back to DPT, Dumb People Town.
Yes.
Want to remind people, what's the next thing we can catch people? We're in Denver at the end of the month doing shows at Comedy Works, the best comedy club ever.
You can see me on tour. Go to danielvankirk.com and catch shows in Louisville, Nashville, Rochelle, Milwaukee, and Cincinnati. Rochelle's the final one.
Oh, nice. And you're doing live shows at Largo, right?
I have a monthly residency at Largo.
Great.
And then when will this air?
This will probably air in like a week or two.
Oh, great. I have a Texas show. End of October, and then I have a Denver show in November.
Nice.
Ooh, come see us, and then come see her.
Where would people go to find those details?
Just my website, racheldoesstuff.com.
Yeah, racheldoesstuff.com. And I look forward to whatever the next project is for you and from you. And
so do
I'm sure it's all in its cooking as we speak.
It's
as well.
Literally cooking. It's all growing fingernails as we speak.
Yay. I love it.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Final story sent in by
Wedding
Beck
stories.
S at DRBX _. Thanks. Dr. Bex, maybe? Mm-hmm. Okay. Here we go.
Please.
In an ode to true love, KFC, Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Oh boy. They should not be weighing in on this.
In an ode to love, KFC Australia has announced the launch of KFC weddings, the first ever wedding service for nuptials that guarantees
you
to be finger.
There is something
good
that just went off in you that said, I would do this.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, yes.
This is a great idea.
This is something.
I'm not a KFC person, but like, this is a great idea.
Fuck it, let's get the bucket. That's a term of endearment.
That is
that is the sign. If a woman says that to a man
if
and
you
he
love
says
it,
yes,
you better put a wing on it.
Thank you, Dan.
I couldn't have said anything.
Sklar brother. Wait, we didn't do that. You did that. All right,
that's a biscuit on the side of that one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Fried chicken fanatics will get a chance to. Oh, you know what? Maybe I subconsciously read this. I swear to God.
Put a wing on it.
Yep. Make a chance to put a wing on it.
Yours was funnier.
Yeah. Well,
yours was better.
I probably
yours was the same.
Well, exactly.
Yeah. They didn't invoke Beyonce. So.
The fried chicken fanatics will get a chance to put a wing on it and win one of six KFC catered weddings. Mm-hmm. Couples getting married between October 28th and May 31st, 2020, can win the prize by lodging an application form explaining why they want the ultimate KFC wedding.
I'm just saying, if you show up to a wedding and it is KFC catered, you are going to be like, let's do this.
That's awesome. What
you're like,
food sucks.
Let's do this.
My
right?
grandfather was a racist plantation owner. I deserve a KFC wedding.
Along with getting to smash freshly cooked chicken courtesy of the KFC food truck, the happy couple will also get a KFC themed celebrant to make it an official.
What does that mean? A white guy in a suit?
I don't know.
A celebrant.
A KFC photo booth to capture those happy memories.
Oh my God, the colonel. The gussie and the colonel.
That's it. Colonel's coming.
Custom KFC buckets and musical entertainment to get the first dance kicked off in true
remember
style.
When Reba McIntyre was the colonel? Like they were using like
oh, yeah.
all those like family. Like,
a lot of
so
funny
fancy.
People
this
wedding like
sounds like a hoot.
Yeah, it sounds great.
Look at here's the promotional picture.
Oh, that's great. Oh, that's great.
It actually
all
looks great.
All of these photos will be on the Facebook page.
So it's a bucket of flowers.
It's a bucket
who
of flowers.
Who catches the
fantastic.
It's a bouquet of flowers.
There it is.
A bouquet of flowers.
So they'll get to do this to tell. This prize package of a KFC wedding is valued at how much do you guys think they're valuing? You get the photo booth,
see?
The food truck, you get the celebrant. You also
what is a celebrant? Is that the colonel?
Well, they said the celebrant to make it all official. So I believe in Australia, maybe that's what they call the officiant.
Is it in
KFC, Australia?
Australia.
Yeah. Yes.
The world loves KFC across the world.
Yeah. And so
you don't have to go first, Richard. You can go Tig or third if you want.
You
want
to go? You want to hear what our suggestion? Yeah. Okay, go.
Okay.
I'm gonna say, are they converted into American dollars?
Yes. Yeah.
I'm gonna say $9,000.
Are you joking? For $9,000, you can buy your own KFC franchise. $9,000? Are you for real?
That's what I'm going to say.
Rachel, do you want to go
like
next or
heard,
do you want me
you
to go?
You act like somebody just said Michelin made tires and reviewed restaurants.
I'm flabbergasted.
Well, they're providing, it sounds like, a band.
A band?
That's what I said. A photo booth?
Catering,
there's a lot.
Photo booth,
you make fun
truck.
Of me. $9,000 is my thing and I'm sticking to it.
No, okay. I'm going to guess. Well, and it's outside of LA because there's always an...
thank you.
I'm going to guess it's a $30,000 wedding.
Okay.
So you think it's $30,000
yes.
in there? Wow.
Okay, Randy.
I was going to say $2,500.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, okay. But think about it. It's catering. It's a food
I
truck.
Know.
It's bands.
It's a band. It's also various decorations.
This prize package is valued
defibrillators.
At play along counties wherever
do they bring
you are.
Defibrillators? They should bring defibrillators.
The prize package is valued at $35,000.
Oh!
Who's planned a wedding?
Rachel
out here just firing hot shots.
How long ago were you guys married?
2001.
Yeah,
so that's a long time
2015,
ago.
2015, baby.
Okay. I have a friend who got a band. The band alone was $12,000.
It's so expensive. Oh, it's weddings are really expensive.
I've done bat mitzvahs.
Winners,
Jesus Christ.
Winners will be judged on their originality, creative merit, and independent expression shared
dude,
in the
you
entry.
Dude, you want to win this.
Yeah.
Terms, you want to win this.
Original
see
recipe.
See if you can renew your vows KFC style.
Do it.
Come on.
In Melbourne?
Come
how
on.
Great would
write
that be?
A song.
Call will they do what is it, the Brit Milah?
What
the lady breast?
The lady breast. The baby naming?
Yeah.
Terms and conditions state you must have the consent of your partner once you've entered. You can't chicken out.
Full consent.
You can't chicken out. I don't want to hear that.
KFC is all about living your best life by eating fried chicken.
This is a great promotion.
And we were flattered that so many of our fans are showing that Aussie, I believe this is Larkin Spirit, By asking, and if I said it wrong, I'm not a
my son, by the way,
but
loves
I want to come
KFC.
Hang out with you.
Larkin Spirit.
Loves KFC.
Do you remember when they
get
did
him a child bride?
I'm thinking about it. Child bride.
Child bride.
Child bride from Brisbane.
By asking us to be a part of their big day, KFC Australia managing director Nikki Lawson said. So I believe you can still enter in to
go
win
it.
This. It's
to
not
our
till
fans,
next year.
And we have fans in Australia. To our fans in Australia,
win
someone
this
better
shit.
Enter this. Someone better win it, and I want pictures and
oh,
I want
I'm
going to
say this. If you win it, and it's enough
invite
fans,
us. You better show up and we'll do entertainment.
I will not out the gate say no. I will try to see if I can make an effort to be there.
Be at this wedding. You hear that, Australia? There you go. I mean, we'll do a live Dumb People Town from your rehearsal dinner.
At your rehearsal.
Oh, wow.
Dinner.
Yeah.
So they're spending $30,000. It's six weddings, $30,000. They're spending $180,000 for
not
this
much
promotion.
For a marketing budget. Yeah. And look what they just did. They got to all of our fans. They heard about
they're
it.
They're on sure. Dumb People Town.
That's really smart.
You're on Dumb People Town. And you got the attention of Rachel Bloom.
And
all right.
Rachel won.
What there a get. Olive Garden used to send me the never-ending pasta pass. Every year, and I haven't gotten it yet for this year.
Ooh,
that's a good one, Dan. You've had the. Have you been a part of the Never?
No, but I would never turn it down.
Yeah,
it's great.
Pasta every day, Dan. Old pasta every day, Dan Van Kirk over there.
That's right. All right, there you go. That's our show. That's it. Rachel Bloom, thank you so much for joining us on the show. It's Dumb People Doing Dumb Things. Joy to have you here. We'll have you back. We'll maybe have you do a live one with us.
Oh, would love to.
And oh shit, we got to get back to work.
Dumb, 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 dumb. Dum 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 dum. Stick around, make a sound, hunker down, it's Dumb People Town.
Scarpins Avenue, a podcast network.